Father in heaven, we are so grateful, Lord, because your mercy endures forever, Lord. And you have called us, Lord, in righteousness, and you said that you would hold our hand. And today, Lord, we are reaching up to grab that mighty hand because we need you. And Father, we're asking that you would cover us with the blood of Jesus, and that you would forgive us today, Lord, and cause your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us today, Lord. And on this Sabbath day, Lord, we pray for a double portion, a double blessing, and that when we leave here, Lord, we would be encouraged in the Lord. Keep us, God, by your Spirit, and we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Not too long ago, maybe a couple weeks, I would say, a couple weeks ago, I was watching on the television, and there was this young man who was sharing his story. And he made some comments that was pretty striking to me. This young man said that he was, all his life as a kid, he was struggling with thoughts, dark thoughts, same-sex attraction. And he said that he got on his knees and he was praying to God, but nothing happened. He said that his movies that he would watch, the music he would listen to, and some of them were like Disney Christian movies type like that. But the message that he would get from all these other sources were telling him to just be yourself. And I quote, let it go. And eventually, that's exactly what he did. He let it go. And he accepted what was within. But what caught me about that story that he was sharing was that he said he prayed and asked God to change him, and nothing happened. He said he prayed, and it made me think, you know, when we're struggling in the midst of any kind of crisis or temptation, and our chemistry is boiling the wrong way, and when we pray to God, do many of us believe that something magical is going to happen right there? That God is going to strike down a beam of lightning and just magically change you right there? I'm not going to stand here and act like that I have not had a prayer session before, and my spirit was disturbed, and I poured out my heart to God, and God has not sent me the calm assurance of his presence. Because it has happened to me. And God has calmed me and changed my thinking and feeling. And I have felt a physical picking up of his presence from me falling into despair. But I also will stand here and tell you that that does not happen all the time. Matter of fact, most of the time, it does not happen. So when you are praying, asking God for help and to change me, Lord, and I want to change, what do you do? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. When you have it, we're looking at verse 1. Let me know by saying amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. The Bible reads, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So what is it that cleanses you from filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God? Having these what? Promises. Paul says that by having these promises, it will cleanse you from filthiness, a total cleansing from flesh and spirit, and perfect you unto holiness. in the fear of God. Ephesians, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And look with me at verse 26. Ephesians 5 and verse 26. And when you get there, let me know by saying amen. Amen. The Bible reads that he, speaking of Christ, you look in the previous verse, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. The it is the church. That Christ might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word. So what does the cleansing? The word. That Christ might sanctify. Now, does sanctification have anything to do with holiness? Yes, you better believe it. So it is God's word that cleanses you and perfects you unto holiness. Sanctifies you. God's word sanctifies you and cleanses you. Ephesians 5:26 is saying the same thing as 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. God's promises in his word cleanses you and perfects you or sanctifies you unto holiness. If that makes sense, let me hear you say amen. 2 Peter, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look with me, if you will, at verse 4. Are we there? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible reads, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Family, they're not just promises. They're exceeding, they're great, they're precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. It is through God's word that you can be a partaker of something that is greater than yourself, something that is supernatural. You can tap into supernatural power by God's word. The Bible says, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Now listen to this. The Bible says that God's promises in his word has power to clean you from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. It has power to enable you to be a partaker of the divine nature so that you can escape the corruption. Escape the filthiness, escape the darkness that is in the world through lust. God's promises, this is why they are exceeding great and precious. If that makes sense, let me hear you say amen. If you are struggling with temptation or any darkness and you are not reading the promises, you are in bigger trouble. Oh, we know this, Tarek. But ask yourself, how many times do you actually do this? Do you actually go to the promises in the middle of your temptation and darkness? Do you actually quote the scriptures out loud? Do you read them to yourself out loud? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to go to verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. When you're there, let me know by saying amen. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Whatever that you're going through right now, you are not alone. Because someone else is experiencing or has experienced what you are going through. Many of us have the tendency to say, man, nobody knows what I'm going through. That is wrong, because it is common to man. The Bible says, but God is faithful. He is faithful. No matter what you're going through, remember that God is faithful. Job says that when he has tried me, I will come out shining like gold. Whatever you guys are experiencing, it is for you to become like gold. Whatever you're going through, God is allowing it so that you will become better. God is faithful that he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to handle. When I was in the military, I went to basic training. I had a brother in my platoon. His last name was Huey. And we would run formation 4 to 6 miles in the morning. Now, Huey would be in the back of the formation, and he was always struggling, turning red, and he would say, I can't do it, I can't do it. Falling back of the formation, I can't do it, I can't do it. The drill sergeant would fall back and tell Huey, Private, you better shut your mouth and keep pressing on. And everybody would come back and say, come on, Huey, you can do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. But guess what? 2 weeks later, Huey wasn't in the back no more. He was with us. 2 weeks after that, Huey was not only with us, he was on the side leading us, calling cadence, talking about, hey, I feel all right now. He thought he wasn't able to bear it. The drill sergeant said, be quiet and press on. You may not think you can take it, but God measured it out, and he knows how much you can take. And he's running along beside you, telling you to be quiet, stop complaining, and press on, because this is to make you better. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. When you say you can't, I've fallen to this. I've been in this pit for years. I can't. You're not going to do it. But when you start speaking faith, faith works and it happens. When you say you can, you know why you can? Because he can. And because he can, you can. One dark moment in my life, I was struggling. I said, Lord, I've been in this pit for a long time, God. And I was reading the writings of Sister White. And forgive me, I have these references, but please ask me afterwards because I don't even know where this is taken from. It's one of those books I got to figure out. But ask me afterwards. She says, as I was reading, as I'm thinking, like, wow, I've been struggling, Lord. Said the angel. You know what the angel said to her? You have been picking at straws, dwelling upon little trials that Satan has magnified before your eyes, and sinners must be lost as a consequence. I said, wow. I said, this is not a little trial to me. But the angel was looking at us and saying, those are little trials. Satan has magnified it before your eyes like it's something big. And as a result, sinners must be lost. Because we're struggling, not realizing the promises are exceeding great and precious, and there's supernatural aid right there, not realizing the power of God's word, we're in this slump, and those around us will be lost. Will be lost. Will be lost. Don't ever say that you cannot, because with Christ, you can do all things. That's what the Bible says. Are you with me? Amen. The Bible says he is faithful, but with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. It may seem unbearable, but God will provide the way of escape. We've just read that the promises, when you hold on to the promises that you may escape the world and its corruptions through lust, the promises are a way of escape. But I believe that God presents to us many ways of escape. You ever been in a situation where somebody is getting on your nerves and you want to give that person a piece of your mind? I'm about to let them have it. And right when you're about to let them have it, your son or your daughter pulls you on the leg. Mommy, can you make me a peanut butter jelly? Not now, honey. I'm about to let this person have it. Guess what, family? That mommy, that's your way of escape. Make that kid that peanut butter jelly sandwich. Because the Lord is providing you a way to get out of that. When you want to indulge in your own pleasure, and all of a sudden, you know you're doing something you shouldn't do, and then the phone rings, it's the pastor. Or it's somebody from your church, and you're like, oh, I ain't got time for that. That's the way of escape. God is faithful. Every single circumstance you find yourself in, if you look for the way of escape, it is there. God is faithful. Hey. And his promises are always sure and amen. And his promises will take you out of that darkness. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. We could turn there. Many of us, these are all familiar verses to many of us, I'm thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. What does the Bible say? We know this. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So when you're feeling the fiery darts of temptation and struggle and darkness, you are under assault. Your weapons to fight in this fight are not fleshly. They're not earthly. They are spiritual. Spiritual. So my next question to you is, what are those weapons? The Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18 tells us, and we know this, the Bible tells us to put on the helmet of what, everyone? The breastplate of what? The belt of what? The shield of what? Shoes of what? The gospel of peace, right? And what's in your hand? The sword of the what? Which is the what? The word of God. So your sword is your offensive weapon. But check this out. The Bible also says prayer in that very verse. Your prayer is your artillery, long-distance nuclear bomb weapon that you have in your arsenal. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the word of God and prayer. Now, when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, 40 days he fasted. Satan assaulted him those three times, and those three times Jesus didn't barter with him. He didn't ask him questions. When the pressure came, Jesus pulled out the sword, the word of God, that was able to enable him to be a partaker of the divine nature, an example for us to follow. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's in the Bible. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's all that Jesus said. And I'm here to remind you this morning that if you go through temptation and struggle and you don't have a promise coming out of your mouth, you're in trouble. Just because you don't physically see Satan there doesn't mean he's not there. He is there and he is assaulting you with darkness. So you know what you do? Say the promises out loud. Say what, everyone? Out loud. There is power in God's word. Say his word out loud. But this is what I do. Listen, you're in trouble in that moment. You're in trouble. You're losing the game. Halftime. You're in the locker room. You need a pep speech by the coach. And so you open up the word of God to get that pep speech from the coach. When I go through darkness, I sit and I read the word of God. I read. I remember when I was reading Daniel chapter 10, and Gabriel said to Daniel, none can hold with me in these things except Michael, your prince. And I said, wow, Michael, that's my prince. And he said, oh man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And I felt strength returning to my own heart. And then Paul tells me, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. And then the Bible tells me that you're not a conqueror, Tarek. You're not a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I say, yes, Lord, hallelujah, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus says, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God says that if I started something with you, I am not going to forsake the work of my hands. And by the time I hear the pep speech from the coach, man, I'm fired up now. I'm fired up. I got strength in my heart. Darkness was assailing me, but I went to the promises that are sure, yea and amen. You see what the word of God does? It transforms the mind. It takes you away from filth and corruption, and it is sanctification live in action. That's what it is. And God wants us to be a partaker of the divine nature, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what, everyone? The word of God. I'm here simply to tell you this morning that if you're going through storms, trials, tribulations, and you don't have the promises, God is telling you to stand on them today. If that makes sense, let me hear you say amen. Now I want to say this. If you were on your deathbed and you knew that you were about to expire and your loved ones were around you, your son or your daughter was right there, what would be your last words to your son or your daughter? What would they be? The Bible records such an instance where King David had reached the end of his years, and there at his bedside was his son, King Solomon. And he looked at his son and he gave him instruction. He said, be strong and show thyself a man. Walk in the ways of God. Keep his commandments. Be strong, my son, and show thyself a man. He wasn't talking to no regular Joe Schmo. He was talking to the next king of Israel, the most powerful nation in all the world. Be strong and show thyself a man. Other nations are going to test you. Be strong and show thyself a man. Members in your own household will challenge you. Be strong and show thyself a man. Temptation will come when idleness and the hours when you feel like you don't have to do nothing. Be strong and show yourself a man. Servant of the Lord says that verse applies to everyone sitting in this room today. And I bid you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, look to the cross and live. Be strong and show thyself a man. These were the last words of King David. Now I want to encourage you, because God created us and saved us by redemption, and we are his by creation and redemption. And God created us in his own image. And when we believe on him, guess what? We are royalty. And when we know, we should know that we are royalty and act like it. God has given us the will. He has given us what, everyone? The will. The will is the power of choice. It is the deciding power. Sister White calls it the kingly power. The what kind of power, everyone? You have a kingly power within you. Too much times we pray, oh Lord, I can't do it. God has created you in his image. He has given you the power of the will, a kingly power. Listen to this. Listen to this. You will be in constant peril, until you understand the true force of the will. You may believe and promise all things, but your promises and your faith are of no account until you put your will on the right side. If you fight the fight of faith with your willpower, there is no doubt that you will conquer. If you fight the fight of faith with your willpower, there is no doubt that you will conquer. Does that make sense, everyone? Listen, servant of the Lord says this. Expulsion of sin is the act of the soul itself. Expulsion of sin is the act of the soul itself. Too many times we may be waiting for something magical to happen when God has given you the victory already. His promises are sure. Now keep in mind, you cannot do this without Jesus. You cannot. But also, Jesus will not do it without you. Jesus does it through you. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When you decide to make that step, Jonathan and his armor bearer, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, they decided to walk up, to climb up this cliff to meet the Philistines. The Bible says that Jonathan and his armor bearer decided to climb up this cliff face on their hands and their feet. This tells me that it was very steep. And up on top was a garrison of Philistines, approximately 1,000 to 2,000 plus soldiers. Now keep in mind, these Hebrews are climbing up. All the Philistines have to do is get a couple slingshots and kill these guys, no problem. Throw a couple of spears, no problem. But you see, God had instructed him, inspired him to do this. And so Jonathan said, God is with us. The Philistine says, come on up here, Hebrews. We got something to show you when you boys get on top. Those brothers climbed up on their hands and their feet. What an impossible situation. Even if they made it to the top and no one slung any rocks, how is two guys going to stand against 2,000? It's hopeless. It is impossible. But they decided to align their kingly power, their willpower, to climb up on their hands and their feet and get to the top. Because they weren't listening to the Philistines saying, come up here. They knew that the general, Jesus Christ, had called them up there. Come on up here, Jonathan. I got something to show you. My grace is sufficient for you. And when those guys got up to the top, the servant of the Lord says that when they started to fight, men started to fall like leaves. There was an earthquake, and angels of the Lord were fighting side by side with Jonathan and his armor bearer. When you decide to put your kingly power on the side of righteousness, and stand on the promises, and quote the scriptures, and get fired up, and give praise to God, and climb up on your hands and your feet, angels of the Lord will fight side by side with you. This is partaking of the divine nature. Would you say amen? When you decide and make that choice to link up with Jesus, because they could have made it to the top. If it hadn't been for those angels, those two brothers would have been dead. But God said, my grace is sufficient. I want to say this now. Servant of God says that everyone who enters into the kingdom of heaven will enter in as a conqueror. Will enter in as who? Those crowns that we will have in our heads will be for victory. Not one person will walk into heaven that is not a conqueror. You know, I was at the general conference. And I remember when I was there, I was doing a lot of running around. Not because I wanted to, it was because I was chasing my son Ishmael all over the place. And I noticed one thing. I was getting a little uptight because I said, man, I wanted to watch the meetings and stuff, but I got to be a father. Because Ishmael, he don't want to keep still. So he's running around, we're in the convention center, and I'm watching him, and I'll start conversations with people. And people will talk to me, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, but the whole time, my focus is on Ishmael because he's tiptoeing around the curb. He's walking around danger. And as I'm talking to somebody, my focus is on this little boy. And throughout the day, he's running away. He's always, he's running away from me. I don't know why he's trying to run away from me. And he's playing this game, trying to hide from daddy. And so he thought he shook daddy. But little did he know, daddy was sitting in the second row in his blind spot watching him. And he was trying to climb up this stage. And every time he looks like he's about to fall, I can't tell you how many times he's fallen and daddy just caught him and picked him up. When he's on the edge, I'm right there. And then as I'm getting little selfish, not little, I was selfish because I wanted to listen to things. An object lesson just beamed me right there, hit me. And the Lord showed me, says, Tarek, you're playing the role of me and Ishmael is you. Every time you tiptoe around danger and you're struggling around darkness and temptation is around you, I am on the edge of my seat, focused intently on you, ready to catch you when you fall. And then I read this quote in Christ Object Lessons, page 176. It says, God, his pleasure is more with his people struggling in a world of temptation and sin than all the host of angels that surround his throne. I said, hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, family, know that the seraphims and the cherubims, he's given them orders. But when you are in the midst of trouble, he's on the edge of his seat and his whole attention is on you in that moment. Could you say amen to the Lord? God is faithful. He has given you all the tools for success. The kingdom of God is not just in word, my family. It's in power, the Bible says. And God wants us to experience that power by making this a practical application in our lives. So when you face trouble and temptation, know that the waves of temptation, they usually last 3 to 5 minutes. Whatever the craving is, the wave is going to hit you. And as you're going through the wave of darkness, 3 to 5 minutes, get into the locker room. Read those scriptures. Get pumped up by the Holy Spirit. Start thanking God. Just praise him for who he is. Give him glory. And when you praise God, God is looking down at you. You know what servant of the Lord says? When you praise the Lord in these situations, you perfect Christian character. You perfect Christian character. And please tell me, if you want that reference, I would gladly give it to you. Praise him. Stand on his promises. Experience the divine nature. And when you get out of the 3-5 minute wave attack, you're saying hallelujah. From darkness to light, you have escaped. You have been pulled out by his mighty hand. God has given us his tools, but we must choose to use them. Isaiah chapter 53. The Bible says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him, Jesus, a portion with the great, and he, Jesus, shall divide the spoils with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The Bible says that Jesus will divide the spoils with the strong. What are the spoils? Our commander, the general of heaven, came down in the war zone and was victorious and rose with the keys of death and the grave and wrested dominion back of this planet to give to us. The spoils of war. When you fight a battle and after you have your victory, you get all the goods. Jesus has all the goods, but the Bible says that he divides the spoil with who? The strong. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men and women of the gospel, and be strong. O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And my son and my daughter, Be strong and show thyself a man and show thyself a woman. Would you say amen? Jesus was in Gethsemane. And the cup, that bitter cup, was trembling in his hand. And he said, Father, if it be your will, you know, let this cup pass, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Family, each of us have been given a cup, and it's a bitter, hard cup to drink. But don't avoid the cup. Don't run away from the cup, because it is the Father's hand that holds it. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word today. We thank you for the promises that are sure. We thank you, Lord, that you have already won, and victory is assured through Christ Jesus. Help us to focus on the power of Christ and let our little trials just dwindle away. Let us know that you have given us a kingly power that we must work together with you. And Lord, that we may also sit together with you on your throne. Thank you, God, for seeing us through. Thank you, God, that you are faithful. Thank you, God, that you don't give us more than we can bear. And I thank you that you died for us. And you're also giving us power so that we may not stumble here on this earth. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, amen and amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.